Sleepover, a laid-back exploration of the captivating and sometimes ridiculous galaxy far, far away. I'm Europa Tokani, and I am here with several people today.
Woo! I'm Loya Rowan, and we've invited Siri, licensed cosmetologist and Europa's sister, back to talk some more galactic glamour. This time we'll be focusing primarily on the prequel trilogy, and you guessed it, mostly on Padme. Let's do this.
It's time for our first segment, Cantina Corner. This week, since we have a special guest, we asked Siri to choose a cocktail for all of us to make. So I'm going to hand it over to Siri and welcome back to the podcast.
Hello. I'm glad to be back and in person this time.
Yeah, we are actually sitting in the same room. We don't have to have like a three-way Skype call. So that is exciting. And I am happy to talk some more galactic glamour. So talk a little bit about what we are enjoying while we talk galactic glamour.
Okay, so I chose a cocktail from the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge cookbook. So I chose the, and I asked you how to pronounce this multiple times, but it's the Coruscant?
Yes.
The Coruscant Cooler. That has 3 ounces of cranberry juice, 2 ounces of bourbon, 1 ounce of lime juice, 1/2 ounce of sweet vermouth, a splash of dark cherry puree, which we couldn't find.
Yeah.
And I was actually looking up baby recipes for cherry puree, and then I was like, no, this is too far. And then a lime wedge. So we kind of omitted the dark cherry puree, and we threw in some grenadine.
We just did a splash of grenadine.
Hey, me too.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yep.
All right, so let's all try our Coruscant Cooler, and I will cheers in person with Siri.
Cheers.
What do you think, Siri?
It's not what I expected.
Is it too sweet or too tart?
It's really not sweet at all.
It's not sweet at all. It's like it's much lighter than I thought it would be. I thought the flavor would be a little heavier. But
it is also probably watered down a little bit at this point.
That is
because
true.
We were talking before we actually started recording. But I personally really like it, but we used rye. And as we've mentioned multiple times before on this podcast, I just get obsessed with drink ingredients sometimes. And at one point that was rye.
Yeah.
Then it was falernum. And I haven't had rye in a while.
I wasn't aware of this.
So I'm excited to have rye in this cocktail, so I think that's really like the main draw for me personally.
Yeah, I use bourbon and it is very good. Like mine is also not sweet. I threw in extra lime juice though.
Yeah, I was unsure exactly how much lime juice I put in ours because it said 1 ounce and I was trying to juice limes and measure it out precisely, but that was not working. So I basically ended up just juicing the lime directly into the shaker, and I also made one for my husband as well, so it was kind of just like a batch of three, so it may be more lime than was actually specified in the recipe, but I don't know, I'm not upset about the amount of lime.
Granted, it was a very like potent lime.
Yeah,
it seemed very odd, like the scent was like very weird, and I was like, does this lime smell strange to you?
So I don't know, it did have a strange smell. Like when she said that, I was like, you're right, I don't know what the deal is with this lime.
What did it smell like? Like was it just like extra
cilantro.
Lime?
Yeah, it didn't smell bad, but it honestly kind of smelled like cilantro, like fresh, but like kind of like not like a lime. I was just like, what? But, you know.
I've never experienced this. This is so interesting.
We made do with it, so.
Yeah, I would make this again.
Yeah, this is good.
Yeah.
It's pretty simple, too. A lot of the cocktails that are in the Galaxy's Edge cookbook can tend to be complicated and require a lot of exotic ingredients. So this is one that you could make pretty easily only picking up a few things specifically, so.
Definitely, yeah.
Probably a good one to try out.
And now it's time for the A Mouse Droid segment, where we talk about random Star Wars related things that we're doing or that we've discovered or recent news or follow-up segments.
So today we just have one piece of news that we wanted to discuss that happened over the last couple of weeks in the Star Wars fan community. We all, well, I say we all, but if you're a Star Wars fan, you probably know Wikipedia. We personally have used it a lot in researching for our episodes. And so there is a really informative article about this on IO9, if you want to read more about it, and we will link that on our website. But there was an artist named Robin Pronovost. Who knows if I pronounce that correctly, but they are a trans non-binary creator who has worked on Topps trading cards. They've also worked on things for Star Wars Insider and Star Wars Kids, and they use they, them, or he pronouns. And they asked Wikipedia to change their name on their article because the article is using their dead name, and it became this ridiculous back and forth between the Wikipedia administrators about what they should do instead of just doing what was asked. And they decided to take a vote on whether names and articles or names that are credited on Wikipedia can be changed. That never should have been up for a debate or a vote. So yeah, there obviously was a lot of discussion of this, and a lot of Star Wars fans thankfully saying that this was ridiculous, and, you know, basically human rights shouldn't be up to a vote, and it shouldn't be an opinion or a decision by someone else. Mm-hmm. And eventually the kind of like parent of Wikipedia fandom, which runs a lot of the fan wikis, basically said, like, you need to do this. You need to not use people's dead names. You need to take these requests seriously and just do them. And that took a few days, though, which is kind of disappointing.
Like, this entire thing was kind of, I read this afternoon because it was a slow day. Well, I shouldn't say a slow day. Friday afternoon. It was hard for me to focus. And so I was like, oh, I'll just check this out. This is the Mouse Droid segment. I hadn't heard of this. And this article was just like insane. Like it does a really good job of outlining like the different steps that were taken and the timeline. But it is just something that's just like on its face is just like, how did it even get to this point? Like, exactly. Yeah. And like people tried to raise awareness of it, and then they were banned because there was this concern about sock puppeting, which was a term I had actually incidentally learned about earlier this week. And that was, they were banned for like just, they were normal editors and they responded to this tweet, and then they were banned from voting. And fandom reinstated their privileges because that's also just kind of like a abnormal, not okay reaction to this entire situation. And then eventually it sounds like two admins were banned for bullying and intimidation on Wikipedia. So they're just gone, which sounds like it was much needed.
Yeah. So actually, as of the time this article was originally published, Wikipedia hadn't said anything publicly about any of this happening or what was going on. And then they made a statement on the 2nd that they had banned those two admins.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that they took action on that, but again, like, this never even should have been an issue in the first place. So I have been trying not to use Wikipedia because of this. So I don't know. It's just, frustrating, and we wanted to talk about it because we want to raise awareness about the fact that, you know, things like this, unfortunately, are still happening, and we all need to speak out about it and react to it in a productive way when we can.
Yeah, and the fact this came so soon on the heels of Gina Carano is just, like, no. Like, we're, the community as a whole is already still, like, processing that, and then to have this happen, just, yeah, it's frustrating.
All right, well, on a completely different note, because we have Siri here, since Siri is here, I wanted to show her this tweet that I saw recently about somebody in the Star Wars universe that shares her name, although it's actually a different spelling. So our Siri is C-I-R-R-I. This Siri is S-I-R-I. But okay. I'm going to show you Siri.
I'm nervous.
What?
Yeah!
What?
So there was this tweet where somebody posted a photo from this book, and I still am not totally sure what this book is, to be honest, but there's an artist's rendition of a Jedi named Siri Tachi, and the tweet is, "Respect to Siri Tachi, the Jedi, who is just Britney Spears." And it
she looks 100%
like the artist looked at Britney Spears as a reference.
Yeah.
And just, like, she even has, like, a Britney Spears, like, hairstyle that she had at one point with, like, the red streak underneath. Yeah. Like, that is Britney Spears.
If you showed me that and didn't tell me the context, I would be like, that's Britney Spears.
And the hair, like, the strands of hair in this, like, the photo comparison are the same. They're the same.
Yeah, they are.
I don't know.
So interesting.
Like, brought me a lot of questions, but also, like, a weird amount of joy. So I just wanted to make sure that Siri was aware of that.
I can't believe that you kept that from me for so long.
Also, like, there's somebody in the corner. Well,
what? What is that?
Well, first of all, like, I think Anakin is next to her.
Oh, yeah. He
and then,
is.
Like, the person's eye that's on the next page, I think it might be Obi-Wan. But
it does.
It kind of looks like Orlando Bloom a little bit.
Yeah, it does. Well, I was just looking up Siri Tachi because I was like, who is this person? And apparently she's going to show up in, from a certain point of view, The Empire Strikes Back.
She is?
Yeah, there's a story about her.
Interesting.
Also, Mouse Droid segment. Playing as Darth Vader during Battlefront is amazing. Just as, like, a continuous update on that. Like, so much fun. That's all I had to say on that.
Okay, so for this episode, Siri, we asked you to talk with us specifically about the prequels.
Yes.
And some of the fashion and the hairstyles, and we're going to get into some tutorials for some things later on, but like we did last time, I wanted to kind of get your thoughts and opinions on the prequels overall first. So, what would you say is your favorite of the prequel movies?
Oh, God. Okay, well, I have to be honest and say I don't have a favorite, but if I had to choose, I would probably say The Phantom Menace. If I had to choose.
Okay, why would you choose The Phantom Menace?
Well, I just think Jabba's hilarious in, like, in that particular episode. And a lot of my world revolves around Bib Fortuna, and I'm trying really, really hard for it not to. But the fact that Bib Fortuna has to wake Jabba up during the pod race, like, it just kills me. I just think it's the funniest thing ever. And that just makes the entire movie for me.
I'm glad that that can redeem the Phantom Menace for you.
Definitely. Definitely.
I've already said, by far, my favorite of the prequels is Revenge of the Sith, which I actually do enjoy. Not that I don't enjoy any parts of the other two, because I do, but I think overall that is by far the best movie of the three. What would you say, Loya?
I would agree. I still have, like, carryover fondness for The Phantom Menace from when, like, watching it as a kid. And, like, pod racing. It's cool. Yeah. So, I have a soft spot for The Phantom Menace, but rewatching it as an adult, it was a lot harder.
I've said before, too, I actually enjoy The Phantom Menace more than I used to now, and I enjoy it more than Attack of the Clones, which is surprising to me, because I used to really dislike The Phantom Menace. So, it's been interesting for my perspective on it to evolve a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's pretty safe to say Attack of the Clones is the worst. Like.
Yeah, I mean.
So, Siri, I probably already know the answer to this, honestly, but who's your favorite character that appears in the prequels?
Okay, so I tried to switch it up a little bit.
Okay.
And I tried to come up with something, like, unexpected. So, my favorite character is Aunt Beru.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I think she's just such an underrated character. And the poor thing, like, she played a big, big part in Luke's identity. And she's just, like, kind of a main base of Luke. And no one ever really thinks that far into it, but I think it's kind of cool to think about it that way.
That's true, and I do think we should all appreciate Aunt Beru more, for sure.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I am very excited because they announced the cast for the Obi-Wan Kenobi series that's upcoming, mm-hmm. and our girl Bonnie,
of course,
we are very familiar with from watching the Nexium documentary at HBO. is coming back as Aunt Beru, and I'm very happy for her.
And then I do have to say, if I didn't watch that documentary, would I have loved Aunt Beru as much? I don't know. I will have to say that. But
I haven't seen this documentary, but that is all I can think of now when I see Aunt Beru. Is
Bonnie.
Yep.
Well, I mean, also, according to my husband, I think everyone looks like Keith Raniere, who is like, I'm sure
the cult leader.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure you might know he's like the cult leader. And apparently I think everyone looks like Keith Raniere, like everywhere we go.
But yeah, I am thrilled for her because obviously she's been through a lot. I feel like she should be more appreciated for her work in the prequels anyway. But yeah, she like helped take Nexium down. So I am excited for her to go back to her role as Aunt Beru and be in this highly anticipated series. So good for her.
Wow. I'm just Googling Keith Raniere.
That might not be the greatest idea.
Initially, I was like, oh, he looks like Steve Bannon, but dark
Steve
hair.
Steve Bannon?
Yeah, he's got kind of like the flowing locks and like the kind of. Yeah. Yeah. He looks kind of familiar.
Also, see, I've like had way too much exposure to Steve Bannon too because we've been watching the QAnon documentary on HBO.
Ah, gotcha. I was like, why? Interesting. Very interesting. He does seem to have a kind of familiar face.
That's scary.
Like, you know, I feel like I could like I would see someone and think that they looked like him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was more like that. Not that I personally have experience.
So. Like, are you in Nexium?
Safe to say I'm not. So interesting. All right,
Siri, this is, if this wasn't your answer to the last one, it's definitely going to be the answer to this question. Who is your favorite alien that appears in the prequels.
Okay. So I spent hours upon hours, like, trying to come up with another alien. I'm like, you can't say this again, but you know it's Bib Fortuna. Like, I am Bib Fortuna's number one fan to the death. Bib Fortuna is just, like, the greatest thing to exist.
Well, with that being said, I did put on our outline for you to prep to talk about Bib Fortuna's appearance in The Phantom Menace and in The Mandalorian, and you took it to mean his physical appearance.
Yes.
So I am excited to hear you talk about the differences and, you know, like, the vibe that he was feeling in The Phantom Menace as opposed to The Mandalorian. So I'll just let you get right to that.
All right. So in The Phantom Menace, I will say, number one thing is he looks so young. He looks so young in The Phantom Menace. It's just like, it's just crazy to me. Like,
she's showing me a picture right now.
His style, I want to say, he has like a nice little casual style going on. He has a simple brown robe with some burnt orange undertones, and he has black gloves on. It's such like a nice fall look for him.
It is like, what is it, the Bunta Eve classic or whatever? Yeah. So I guess it's like a holiday, so maybe exactly. It's like a I don't know if they have autumn on Tatooine, but maybe it's like a somewhat casual, like, holiday look.
Yeah, he has, like, his holiday attire on for the pod races. And I will say, his Luku, like, Leku? Luku? What? I just, like, was thinking of, I think I was thinking of Loki. I don't know. His Leku looks extremely sleek. Like, extremely sleek. It looks so good in The Phantom Menace. It looks great. Like, it looks so moisturized, and, like, he's just... It's, like, great. Like, it just looks so great. And I will say, as far as the special effects makeup, I think it looks a little strange. He's got some, like, My Chemical Romance eyeshadow going on, like, around his eyes. With, like...
Yeah.
I understand he's, like, trying to have, like, red, like... looking eyes, but it kind of just looks like emo, like, eyeshadow when you know you like put it all around the eye. So that's, I thought that was kind of strange for them to choose, but so that's my thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, that's not like a Twi'lek thing that we know.
I mean, maybe he was wearing makeup.
Maybe that's just his personal style.
Maybe he wanted to like add a nice red for like a fall undertone. To add to his outfit.
Maybe.
So it could have been something like that. I don't know. I don't know really what they were going for there, but.
Wow. He served Jabba for a long time.
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Well, what was that? Like 40, like
40 no, years ago? Well, yeah. Yeah, actually.
Yeah,
that was 40 plus years between The Phantom Menace and The Mandalorian.
Yeah. So it's been a long, long time. Oh, so do you want me to go on to him?
So what do you think about seeing him after all that time in The Mandalorian? I know it was very upsetting to you, first of all, so I'm sorry to bring this up again, but what are your thoughts?
I was so upset. So I won't get into how I felt about that quite yet, but as far as his appearance, I would say he got pretty bulky. He bulked up there. I mean, I don't know how else to say it.
That's very tactful. Yeah.
He kind of looks like a mob boss. Like, just his demeanor and, like, he's, like, he looks like a boss, you know? His nails. I don't know, like, what's going on with his nails, but they're, like, super long. Like, they kind of look like he has, like, acrylics. And I was thinking maybe he, like, gets them done with Kira.
You know, they probably know each other through the underworld, you know?
That like, is true.
They run in the same circles, so maybe Bib Fortuna has a passion for nails, too.
That is true. And as far as his style evolved, like, 100%. He has an emerald green robe on with some jewels. It's, like, bedazzled, you know? He has fingerless gloves. Like, he took the next step. He can't be bothered with regular gloves anymore. He needs fingerless. And I will say, he looks quite weathered and rough, and his Leku? Is that correct? Leku? Leku? I can't pronounce words today, I'm sorry. His Leku looks, like, weathered and rough, and, like, he needs to moisturize, man. Like, he needs to get some, like, Olay or something up in here, because it just, like, it's not looking good anymore.
I don't know. He stopped doing his skincare regimen, I guess.
I guess he stopped caring about his appearance when he took over. But, you know.
Yeah, I mean, a bit Fortuna let himself go, I guess. Maybe he was overwhelmed when he took over for Jabba, and he just didn't have time for his skincare routine anymore. And
yeah.
Or maybe he prioritized different things, right? Like, his Leku is nice and thick now, so he doesn't have to worry about moisturizing it, and, like, now his clothes are more important, or his
That's
nails.
That's true, but it's not looking so good.
No.
We don't have to see him that way for long.
Nope.
So, we didn't... I've talked to you about this, Siri, obviously, but this happened after you were a guest on the podcast for the first time, so what was your reaction when Boba Fett walked into Jabba's palace and just killed Bib Fortuna?
Well, I screamed. I cried. And honest to God, I really did, like, shed a tear. Because it was just, like, it was just uncalled for. It was unexpected. It was uncalled for. It just, it wasn't good. I was very, very upset about that. I'm still upset about it, actually, to this day.
And I was actually very mean because I watched that episode of The Mandalorian before Siri did, and I texted her and asked her if she had seen it, and she said no, and I was like, well, make sure that you watch through the credits.
Yeah. Yep.
Just rub that in.
All right, well, let's move on from Bib Fortuna, although I'm sure you could talk about Bib Fortuna forever if given the opportunity. So I also asked you, as a follow-up from our conversation last time where we were talking about your emo past, right, and what would be the perfect emo song for Kylo Ren, we had to educate Loya a little bit about what emo is, right, although we agreed that there can be a spirit of emo in many things.
There can, that's true.
But I asked you for this episode, Siri, to choose an emo song for Anakin, because we all know Anakin is extremely emo as well, yes, and that's where Kylo Ren gets it from.
Oh, so, yeah.
So what would you choose for Anakin?
So, there were so many ways that I could have gone with this. Like, there were so many opportunities that I could have been... So, what I chose was... And I think this is, like, a song that, even if people, like, aren't into quote-unquote emo music, they'll know this song, type of song. So I chose I Will Possess Your Heart by Death Cab for Cutie.
Okay.
Hmm. And do you know what that is?
No. I know of Death Cab for Cutie, but I'm not familiar with that particular song.
What would you consider Death Cab for Cutie? Like, indie?
I mean, I would certainly consider them indie, but I feel like if you, like, Google emo music or whatever, Death Cab for Cutie is always on it.
Yeah.
Because it has an emo sensibility.
Right. Like, I still listen to Death Cab, like, to this day. I still listen to their new music and stuff, but
yeah,
it does have an emo sensibility. But basically, I think it's a little self-explanatory just based upon the title, but all I can think about is his creepy obsession with Padme. Like, I think everyone can think of that when they think of Anakin, and I think that's kind of the perfect song for him to be super creepy about and just be a creepo. Like, there's no other way to say it. I also chose a second song, which I think is a little too much of a deep cut. So, like, I don't think I should even say what it is, because I don't think anyone's going to know what it is.
Some people might. And then if they don't, they can look it up.
Look on our website.
Listen to it and think about Anakin.
Okay. So the second song that I chose was Note to Self by From First to Last.
I know that song, but I only know it because of you, sir.
So to put it in short, this song basically says, note to self, I miss you terribly. This is what we call a tragedy. So, you know, I feel like Anakin could use that about all his fear and anger as he's slowly turning more and more evil and annoying and killing children or, like, whatever he feels like doing that day.
Note to self.
You know, he's just, like, a little torn, like, trying to turn evil. And I think that would be, like, a really good explanation of his life.
I like that one. I would recommend listening to that song if you hadn't. It's actually Skrillex is the singer before he became Skrillex when he was in From First to Last. So it's interesting if you know Skrillex to go back and listen to that.
Yeah, it definitely is.
Okay, so let's get into kind of the main topic of our episode, which of course is Padme, because how could you possibly talk about hair and makeup and style in Star Wars in general, not just the prequels, without talking about her? So I thought we would just talk overall first about some of our favorites, and then we'll go into some specific looks. So, Siri, what would you say is your favorite of Padme's looks, specifically as Queen Amidala, when she's, you know, in her queen mode before she's a private citizen?
So, my favorite look is just casual. No. The look is so over the top. So, I chose the throne room scene in episode one. I think the reason that I love it so much is because it reminds me of Moulin Rouge, and I don't know why. I really couldn't place...
I think it's the colors, probably.
I think it is the colors. It's kind of a red and gold scheme. But my first question is, who does her makeup, do you think?
Handmaidens.
Yeah, that's... Okay. That's explored in the novels by E.K. Johnston, in that she has all these handmaidens, and one of them is specifically trained to do her makeup and her hair.
Okay, because they're also, like, sitting there putting her hair up in, like horns, like, little, like, roly horns.
Well, it was also, I think, mentioned in the books, Loya, that some of those things are, like, hair pieces, right?
Yeah.
Well, okay, yeah. That was my note. I was like, you would need my words exactly. You bleep out swears on this, right? Not that it's a crazy swear. I put, you would need a crazy ass hair piece and a base for her hair for it to stay up like that. And or a hair piece. Like, there's no way that it would just, like, fold into horns. But... So when I was researching this, I found so many articles talking about her style. It was, like, a shocking amount of stuff that I found. I wasn't aware that people are, like, so, like, into this.
Yeah, there's also a book called Dressing the Galaxy, I think, that is about largely Padme's outfits and stuff. And it's, like, so coveted, but it's rare. Like, I think it's out of print. And people buy it for, like, hundreds of dollars.
Really? Wow. So, also when I was researching, a little bit into her looks. I was kind of wondering, like, what was going on here? Like, was it based upon something? So, I was reading that it's actually from a Mongolian wedding dress. And red and gold outfits are based in East Asian culture and symbolize good luck, vitality, and money. So, pretty much something anyone in high power should wear.
Loya, do you have a favorite Queen Amidala look?
Yes, I do. And it's actually, I think, worn by Sabe. It's the black one.
Okay, yeah.
With, like, the, like, feathers and the, like, weird, I mean, I guess earpieces. I just really like that. It's, like, very, that dress is just intense. So that's my favorite, even though I know it's not technically Padme. But still, Amidala as a persona. It's got, like, kind of, like, it's, like, the ruffled effect of the dress. and it's just, I don't know how to describe it.
I get what you mean. I think people will.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna have weird picks for everything. So my favorite Queen Amidala outfit is actually the one at the end of The Phantom Menace, the celebration dress, the white one with kind of like the also
fancy, I like that one too,
flowy robe that has really like pale pastel colors and white, and then her hair is not totally like out of control. It's pretty subdued for Queen Amidala, right. And she still has the white face paint makeup, but it's also like not totally over the top. I like it because, one, it's pretty, but two, I think she actually kind of looks her age in that outfit, and I think she looks like more of herself and just like looks youthful like she is, and it's kind of more playful and celebratory. So I think that one's kind of a departure from the other ones, and I really like it.
I have a least favorite too, as I was looking up the fan one where her hair is like a fan over, I mean, it's not obviously her hair, it's a hairpiece. Don't like that one. It's mainly because of the hair. The rest of the outfit's fine. It's like a kimono.
Oh yes, yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah. Yes.
So before we move on from this topic, I found a quiz on StarWars.com that will tell you which Padme Amidala outfit you should wear.
Ooh.
Yes.
So please. I'm going to send you the link, Loya.
Okay.
In the Skype chat. All right. So we'll all go through it together. And yes. I'll read out the options.
And then are we going to each answer one? Or
yeah, we can each say what our answer is, and then we'll move to the next question, and then we'll all say what we got.
Okay.
All right, so question one is, what color dominates your closet? Earth tones, pastels, brights, or black, black, and more black? I would say, for me, probably the closest is, like, earth tones, because I do have a lot of neutral things.
I would say pastels, right? You've seen my closet.
That's difficult because you do have pastels, but I do feel like you also have a lot of neutrals too. You tend to wear more prints than I do, but they're like a lot of floral prints.
Too many florals. Yeah. But yeah.
So I guess pastels.
Pastels, okay.
So I feel like mine is just black. Like, I tend to go for, like, solid colors, and of these options, I don't really wear bright colors. I definitely do not wear pastels. Maybe earth tones, but not really. So I'm going to go black, black, and more black.
Nice.
Okay, question two. Pick a favorite accessory. A sleek headband, a wrap, a ring, or a statement necklace. I honestly don't wear any of these things.
No.
Don't wear jewelry very often other than earrings and obviously my wedding rings. I don't really wear headbands. I don't wear wraps. The only ring I wear or rings are my wedding rings. I guess if I had to choose one, I would say headband, because I always buy headbands with the intention of wearing them. True. But then I don't. So like, I'll just say headband. Siri, what would you say?
Same thing goes for me. I don't really wear jewelry except for my wedding ring. So, if anything, I would say a statement necklace.
I'm going to go with you on the statement necklace because, like, I don't wear rings, definitely do not wear wraps. And, yeah, last time I wore a headband was, like, oh, never mind. It was in college. So, we're doing statement necklace.
Okay, question three. Describe the climate where you live. Cold, hot, mild, or seasonal? I feel like it's seasonal for all of us.
Yeah, for all of us.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Number four, who is your favorite handmaiden? I don't know if Siri is going to be able to easily answer this.
No.
But Loya, the two of us can. And for me, it's definitely Sabe.
Yes. Yes. She's so fierce. Definitely.
The other options were Corday, Dorme. I don't know who you're going to choose. The options are Sabe, Dorme, Corday, or all of them.
I'm just going to say all of them because I don't want to pick one when I'm, like, unsure. So I'll say all of them.
Okay, question five then. What's your favorite leisure activity? Relaxing in nature, rock climbing, spending time with friends, or catching up on politics.
This picture, though.
The picture is from the picnic in the meadow on Naboo.
Why don't they offer?
Why is she looking at the camera?
I don't know. That's a good question. This is actually, I don't know.
Anyway.
Obviously, I enjoy spending time with friends. I also enjoy relaxing in nature. And I was doing that today because it's really nice here. And I ate my lunch outside and was just enjoying the sunshine. So I guess based on that, I'll choose relaxing in nature.
I will also choose relaxing in nature.
I feel like I should choose relaxing nature because that's actually like a leisurely activity. But of these, yeah, no, catching up on politics is not a leisure activity.
No.
No, it's not. It's just not. I do it too much.
So what did you choose?
I picked relaxing in nature.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Question 6. When you're faced with a conflict, how do you respond? By shouting, I will not defer. Aggressive negotiations, cordial negotiations, or by backing down.
Okay.
Definitely not by shouting, I will not defer.
That's
so
very specific.
I'm going to choose cordial negotiations.
I will also choose cordial negotiations.
Are we talking like real life or like ideally, or like with those you're close to?
Probably real life.
I took it as real life. That doesn't mean you have to know.
Okay. I'm actually gonna go by shouting I will not defer, because like ideally I would go with aggressive negotiations, which is just like lightsabers, but in actuality based on how this week has been going, it's I will not defer. There are boundaries and they should be respected. All right. Done.
I'm sorry to detour this quiz, but I just remembered something that we definitely should talk about because Siri is on the show that involves lightsabers. Apparently, there was a Disney Parks digital press conference yesterday, and Siri is a huge Disney Parks fan. I love Disney Parks, but like not as much as she does.
Yeah.
So I actually told her about this though. They were mostly talking about the opening of the Avengers campus at Disneyland, which has been delayed due to COVID, and they announced an opening date for it in June. But then apparently at the end of the press conference,
just casual.
Josh D'Amaro, who's like the head of Disney Parks, took out a lightsaber.
Just casual. What?
And ignited it, and people were freaking out, like everywhere on Twitter, on Instagram, all these people that had seen the press conference, which was like only invited people,
right,
were like, oh my god, that was a real lightsaber. They're like, I can't even describe it to you. Yeah. Like, I don't know what to say. Like, it was a real lightsaber.
Whoa.
And apparently Josh D'Amaro just like took it out, ignited it, and he was like, yes, it's real. And then they ended the press conference.
And then he was just like, bye.
Ha. Huh.
And what, there's no pictures and no video.
Nope. No pictures, no videos, just people freaking out. And they're like, I can't even describe what I saw. It was insane.
Wait, what? What? Like,
exactly.
You could have sliced off someone's hand with that. In theory.
I don't know. Like, they were like, it's not like the lightsabers that they have at Galaxy's Edge. Like, it's not an LED light. Like, it was a lightsaber. I don't know what that means, but
I'm so interested.
So, definitely looking forward to getting more information on that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Way to drop the mic and just walk off. Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, getting back to the quiz. Question 7. What type of garb would you wear to a fancy event? A sleek suit. The use of the word sleek is
a
just
a sleek suit. Just sleek is like my favorite word to describe.
Yeah,
stuff.
And it's appearing so frequently during
it really
this episode.
Is.
Yeah.
Right, a sleek suit. A floor-length gown, my best black dress, I'll need someone to carry my train.
So, like, what type of fancy event? Like,
I mean,
specify.
It's showing a dinner.
Yeah.
Yeah, we shouldn't use that picture for inspiration. That's literally the dinner between Padme.
Yeah,
and
no, that's not a fancy event at all.
No.
That's like the worst picture they could have chose for.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess like I would imagine some sort of just like a formal event with a lot of people.
politics, right?
The yeah. Senate.
You're going to a Senate schmooze thing.
All right, I would say a floor-length gown, because I would want to be elegant, but I'm not going to wear something where someone needs to carry my train. Siri?
I would say my best black dress, because I don't feel like having a floor-length gown, because it's going to be annoying, because you're going to have to keep, like, even though you don't have a train, you're going to have to keep picking it up. Like Pen. Winifred Sanderson. Like, no thanks.
Moya.
So before this year, I probably would have said my best black dress, but now having like lived my life in sweats, I'm wearing a suit. You can't put me in a dress. Like I will wear that sleek suit. So
dresses are done. So much more comfortable though. Like I would rather just not wear pants for the rest of my yeah. life and wear a dress every day.
That is true.
I'm imagining like a nice blazer and something that I can just like button up and then I can run. Yeah. Yeah. Some like power shoes. I don't know what that means.
Power shoes?
Are those tennis shoes? Comfortable heels? Who knows?
Question 8. How do you usually style your hair? Braids, a bun, a ponytail, or loose? I've been working from home for the past year plus, and I really don't do my hair, and it's in a ponytail a lot of the time, so it's a ponytail.
I would say loose, I guess, because
yeah,
I don't really ever have my hair up or anything, and I straighten the crap out of my hair, at least for now. So yeah, I would say loose.
Alright, I'm gonna go ponytail. I do buns and braids, like, very haphazard, but my go-to is a ponytail.
Question 9. What kind of makeup do you wear day to day? Just some sunscreen and moisturizer, spot coverage, minimal, or full face? Again, I work from home. I don't have a lot of video calls, so if I don't have to put makeup on, I don't, which is new, because if I were going to the office every day, I would definitely be wearing makeup.
Right.
But I don't know. I'll say minimal, because normally it would be.
Well, you know, I will say full face because I don't go anywhere without my cat eyes.
So I have a lot of video calls. So my makeup wearing has not changed fundamentally. It's pretty much foundation and a little bit of blush. So is that minimal or is that spot coverage? Let's go spot coverage.
I mean, yeah, I debated whether I should say minimal or full face because I normally do like a tinted moisturizer, concealer. I do my brows, that's like a must, and sometimes I do eyeshadow, sometimes I just do highlighter on my eyes,
yeah,
and then like a bit of eyeliner and mascara, and then this really sounds like a full face. I'm just like blush and highlighter, so yeah, that's probably actually a full face. I should have answered
full it's face. A full face that you think is minimal, but then when you actually start yeah. talking, you're like, wait.
I feel comfortable with my spot coverage because, like, I don't do half those things. Spot coverage.
All right. Final question. What's most important to you? Family, career, friends, or a balance? I would have to say a balance. Yeah. All those things are important.
Yeah. I would also say a balance. I can't really choose one of those.
No, definitely a balance. There's only one right answer.
All right, we have our results. I'll go first since I was going first taking the quiz. I got the Naboo picnic dress, which I'm not upset about. That dress
is gorgeous. Oh my god!
The description says, you plan your outfits to match wherever you're going down to every small detail. Relaxing in the sunshine today, a picnic in a bucolic meadow, or frolic in the flowers calls for a gown covered in tiny rosettes. Or maybe capes are more your thing. Take this quiz and find out which Lando Calrissian outfit you should wear. I would love to do that.
Can we do that?
Well, maybe we can do it after we're done recording.
Oh my god, I want to
take up time in the recording with it, but I do want to know the answer to that. But yeah, I'm very happy with the Naboo picnic dress. Nice. What did you get, Siri?
So I got the Naboo celebration gown.
Nice. That was my favorite Queen Amidala outfit that I was talking about.
So it says a personal or planetary victory calls for a celebration. Toss on this dress and get ready to party.
That was not nearly as extensive a description.
Two sentences for mine.
Mine is also two sentences, and I'm just like, I'm a little resentful of this. So I got the handmaiden disguise, which kind of makes me feel like, I don't know. You're adept at blending in when you want to, and donning a handmaiden disguise is the perfect way to hide yourself in plain sight. Will the real Queen Amidala please come forward? I feel very antagonistic towards that description. Like, just because I use spot coverage and prefer suits, you're putting me in a handmaiden disguise? Like, screw you. Anyway.
Is that the one, the, like, reddish outfit? Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The orange. It's actually orange. Straight up orange. I hate orange.
Wait, now I'm confused as to which one it is.
Here, I'll send you a picture.
Okay, send me a picture.
I'll send you an exact picture and a description, because, like, I'm... Like, I have no problem being a handmaiden, but I feel like that was kind of shade. All right. As evident by this picture, like, what the?
Oh, okay. Well, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I do like that outfit, though.
You do?
Yeah. It's ombre. How could I not like it?
I mean, yeah, it's ombre, but.
Still.
The hoods do look kind of weird, though. Like, I always kind of thought that, like, the inner hood kind of makes it look like they're wearing, like, a baseball cap.
Yep.
Underneath the other hood.
Oh my god, I thought they were. I thought they were. Like, no joke. Until you just said that, I was convinced they had half of them.
I mean, if they would, you know, were to add something about, like, you're also very competent and very good at what you do, and you're, like, taking names. But no, they didn't. So.
Okay, well, now that we all know which Queen Amidala outfit we should wear, even though some of us really thrilled with it, let's talk about Padme's looks when she's no longer Queen Amidala. Siri, what is your favorite of Padme's looks?
So, I have episode 2 when she's hiding in Naboo. So,
she's doing, like, a really bad job of hiding, but yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'll have to say, this dress looks so comfortable.
Her lake dress?
Yes. She's kind of just, like, if I was hanging around, like, on a balcony by the water, just chilling, this is what I would be wearing. Like, or what I want to wear, at least, you know.
I mean, I guess from experience, Siri, that whenever you're around a body of water, you're wearing.
I like the little accents of the metal pieces. They kind of remind me of, like, a gladiator type of style. I think that's really cool. Mm-hmm. And I like how her hair is in, like, a little updo that's kind of, like, effortless, but she's still trying a little bit. It looks nice. I mean, it's kind of like a nice, like, windy day, want to be comfortable, it's hot out, but still glamorized look.
Yeah, and it's backless. She looks fantastic in that dress.
Yeah.
They must really like ombre on Naboo.
I guess so, yeah. They were the creators of ombre.
Uncredited.
All right, Loya, what is your favorite Padme look?
So I like her outfit when they go to Tatooine, even though not Tatooine, Geonosis with, like, the white and the boots.
Mm-hmm.
I like that outfit. Like, it's mainly the boots and the fact it's, like, mildly practical, except then she tears her shirt, like, for, yeah. Reasons unnecessary. So I like that outfit. That's gonna be what I go for. Although I like the picnic one too.
Once again, I feel like I'm gonna have weird choices for this. I really like all of her outfits on Tatooine, which I don't really know why. She has several outfits when they go to Tatooine to try and find his mom in episode 2. And she has, like, a few kind of light blue outfits.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I do like that one, too.
Actually, I'm sorry. I'm gonna, like, tell you like four outfits that I like right now.
Oh, okay.
So there is one that she wears on Tatooine that I do not like. That's the light blue one. Several of them are midriff bearing. I do like one of those.
Yeah, that's horrible.
But like, the one we're looking at right now is horrible. It's light blue and it's like kind of like ruched. And
yeah, I don't
she
like
has
that one.
A, like a wide headband on, and her hair straight up looks like she's going to like a formal dance in 2002.
Yes,
like,
it does.
100%.
It really does.
And it's very dated. It's like very late 90s, early 2000s. However, I do really like the other outfit that she has where it's after they've, well, I want to say they've discovered, it's after Shmi has died, and I think they've buried her, and she's like standing watching Anakin in a very concerned way, and it's like a long sleeve with kind of wide sleeves, like very pale blue, again, midriff bearing outfit. But I don't know, like, there's something about it that is very elegant, and I like her hair. She has two kind of side buns, but then she has some of her hair loose, and she has a cool headpiece. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, I just enjoy that one. And then I also enjoy the cape that she wears on Tatooine when they first arrive. It's like a cloak.
Do you just love capes?
I do love capes. I wish that I could wear a cape. I've said this many times. I, like, so wish that it were acceptable for me to wear a cape.
Why isn't it? You could.
I don't know. I, like, it's my dream to, like, wear a formal cape one day. But she's wearing this cloak that, like, doesn't really make sense for Tatooine because it looks kind of velvety, but it has this, like, pattern on it, and it has a hood, and she's wearing it over another outfit. I really like that one.
Wait, is this the dark blue one?
Not dark blue.
Okay.
It's a lighter blue. Yeah, so I'm showing Siri, yeah. So, like, I don't know how to describe the pattern, really. Like, it almost kind of looks like an animal print.
It does,
but
yeah.
It's, like...
Oh, that one. Okay, yes, I really like that one.
Yeah, it's, like, part, like, velvety and part, like, silky. It's really hard to describe, but I really like it. And then I also like her outfit on Tatooine when they're staying with the Lars family and... she has this, like, poncho type of outfit that just looks extremely comfortable. Like, it's a long dress, but then she has this dark blue, like, purpley poncho type of thing over it that has, like, a design at the bottom. It's, like, a circular design with some tassels. I don't know. It just looks like an extremely comfortable lounge outfit.
Mm-hmm. It does,
I would like to wear.
Yeah.
And then another one that I really like is her green cloak that she has in Revenge of the Sith. It's like an olivey green type of color, and it's kind of like a cloak dress thing. It has a hood. She has like an Empire waist. The belt is like a wide silk purpley belt. And I actually found a website, DIYthegalaxyofstarwars.wordpress.com, and there's a whole article about her Revenge of the Sith green velvet gown, and it compares it to the woman in the Arnold Fini portrait.
Interesting.
Huh.
And we've talked
about it. Yes!
I have... Yes. I have useless degrees, and they involve the study of the Arnold Fini portrait, and I had never thought about that, but it's so true.
Yes! Oh my god. Wow. Mind blown.
So we should definitely link to this, because, yeah.
Yes. Like,
totally, definitely is a reference to that, and it's also really pretty, and it was when she was pregnant, so there's actually been a lot of debate about the Arnold Fini portrait and whether the woman in it is pregnant or if, like, she's just gotten married, because it's sometimes considered to be a marriage portrait and that it's, like, implying that that's what's going to happen next, or somehow, like, being part of a wish that that will happen next. So I won't get into all of that because I'm sure people that listen to the Star Wars podcast don't really want to know about the intricacies of the Arnold Fini portrait, but yeah, super interesting.
Is there like a definitive answer? Because I am curious. Okay.
No, I mean, like, what is there ever a definitive answer in our
history? Mean, maybe there could be. And then 3 months later, a baby was born. Ah, voila.
But yeah, okay, I'm done. I just had to talk about all of those. But yeah. So Siri, I also definitely wanted to talk about Padme's hair. Not Queen Amidala's hair, Padme's hair. Because, like, nobody's going to be trying to do Queen Amidala's hair.
Right.
But her hair is, like, really pretty in Attack of the Clones, primarily. And I would love to know how to do some of these hairstyles, especially because I have naturally kind of wavy hair. Your hair is naturally curly, so it's probably even more easily achievable for you, Siri. But right. I think some of them are doable. But before we talk about them, I also had shown you a meme that someone made that was basically like, you know, watching Star Wars, I'll believe this, I'll believe that. But you expect me to believe that Padme is brushing her curly hair with this paddle brush in the scene in Attack of the Clones where she's like standing on the balcony and talking to Anakin. Oh, I'm sorry, it's from Revenge of the Sith where she's talking to Anakin about being pregnant and she's just like brushing her hair.
Okay, so coming from someone with naturally curly hair, that is truly ridiculous. Like, no one with curly hair could ever brush their hair with a paddle brush like that and have their hair stay intact. There's just absolutely no way. Like, as soon as that brush even touched her hair would just instantly turn into, like, a big poof. It would be super frizzy. Like, I can't believe they tried to play that off so casual. Like, oh, let me just brush my hair with the... Like, that would absolutely never happen. Anyone who has curly hair knows you can only brush your hair when you get out of the shower. Rather, comb it when you get out of the shower. And then you can't touch it again until you wash it. Like, that's, like, not... It's just not even a possibility.
Is she wearing extensions?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. I mean, every single time I'm just like, her hair is so beautiful. Like, oh, I wish my hair looked like that. Effing extensions. All right.
Did you, like, just discover the world of extensions?
Yeah, from the last time you were on the show. Like, that blew my mind. I was like, wait a minute, what? These aren't real hairstyles. This isn't real hair? Yeah, yeah. It was, like, the most informative thing I took. Like, I mean, obviously there were a lot of things going on, but, like, yes. This is like core knowledge that I need to know, and now I know it, so I feel better.
So I asked Siri to talk about a few hairstyles in particular, and the first one is Padme's hair in Attack of the Clones when she is talking to Anakin on the balcony after they have that weird dinner. When she's, like, straight up in a nightgown. And we've discussed this before, Loya. But
Just run. But, walk right out.
Yeah, she does look gorgeous. And her hair looks great. So, Siri, tell us about how she would have achieved that.
Okay. So, should I talk about how she would achieve that? Or how someone could
We can achieve that.
So I would say for someone who has curly hair naturally, this would be like super, super easy to do because you obviously already have the curls. So if you didn't, you would have to curl your hair with a very small curling iron, like probably about an inch sections, and just curl them really tight. And then you would take about a 1-inch section of your hair right above your ears and just swirl it. Take that piece and put a bobby pin it in the back. And then you just pull a little piece in front of your ear and you get a nice little hanging curl. And that's really it. Like, it's actually pretty simple. She just has really nice hair and extensions. Like, just put it shortly.
Great. Yes, yeah. Add extensions to your hair.
Yeah, and her hair is, like, in very, like, good condition. Like, it's super nice and just shiny and looks really good.
Maybe Natalie Portman just has really nice hair. Does she? I don't know.
I can't. You've seen her.
Like, think of that.
I have seen her in person, that's true, and under very strange circumstances. Which I feel like I need to now explain. So, a few years ago for my husband's birthday, I got us tickets to Boston Calling, which is this music festival that has, like, all kinds of really diverse acts that they bring in. But the headliner that year was Eminem, and my husband likes Eminem, so I surprised him with tickets to specifically go see Eminem. But we got there early because we knew that, like, we were going to have to get a spot and everything. And they had all these other events during the day, and we were just trying to find something to do. And they had this event with Natalie Portman, and we had no idea what it was. It was just like, oh, like a conversation with Natalie Portman or something. And we were just like, okay, whatever, like, we'll go to this. It was at the Harvard Athletic Complex, so I think that's why she was involved, because she went to Harvard. But I think they basically were just like, Natalie Portman, you can do whatever you want. So they had this, like, experimental artist. I don't know who they were. I'm sorry to you, person, but
they're listening right now.
Yeah, I don't know. they did, like, this crazy music. It was interesting. But then Natalie Portman came in and she was like, I'm going to read this poem while we show this experimental film from, like, 1942. I don't know what the film was. I don't know what the poem was. But it was literally this woman, like, playing the keyboard and, like, making, like, strange sounds. And then Natalie Portman reading this poem over this experimental film. So that was when I saw Natalie Portman in person. It was interesting. It was definitely a unique experience.
I thought you also saw her on Nantucket.
I could have seen her on Nantucket. So this was, I don't know why I have multiple stories involving Natalie Portman.
You really do.
I interned on Nantucket at one point, and I was at a bar with some of the other interns, and I literally got up from the table to go get drinks. I got my drinks. I sat back down, and everyone at the table was like, oh my god, you just missed Natalie Portman. And I was like, what? And they're like, yeah, Natalie Portman just walked in, and then she looked around and she just left. And I was like, what? Now, the reason that Natalie Portman was on Nantucket was because it was, like, when she was first dating, I think, her now husband, who was a ballet dancer that she, like, worked on Black Swan with, and there was a ballet festival on Nantucket that, like, he was involved with.
Okay.
So, like, it was Natalie Portman. Like, there's no question it was Natalie Portman, but I did not actually see her.
Okay. I totally thought you did. Like, in my head, that was when you saw her. I forgot about the time with the experimental.
Yeah. So, all that being said, I have not seen her, like, in a context where I'd really be able to look closely at her hair.
That's true.
And determine if it is actually as healthy.
Yeah,
like, as it looks in these photos. So
the only way I think of Natalie Portman is in V for Vendetta, and she doesn't have hair in
right?
that, so
well, just for part of it.
Yeah, like, she does for a short time, but
yeah, I really can't say enough, like, how strange of an experience that was at Boston Calling. I respect Natalie Portman for just, like, doing what she wanted to do. I didn't not enjoy it, but it was definitely, like, not the context that I ever imagined seeing Natalie Portman.
Also, I have a lot of jealousy towards Harvard at the moment. Like, I'm like, wow, can you just imagine Natalie Portman as an alum? Like, you could do anything. All right.
Okay, so Siri, I also asked you to try and figure out how you would reproduce the hairstyle that Padme has also in Attack of the Clones on Geonosis with her white outfit.
Yeah. So this one is bizarre. why go through all that work just to put all those little things in a bun? Like, I don't really understand that. But, so this is actually a lot simpler than you'd think. So, I would say you would just part your hair down the middle, smooth your hair down with, dare I say, a paddle brush. But, in this case, it's okay because you're not going to be wearing your hair in a curly fashion down. Like, you're actually smoothing it with a brush. So, that's fine in that case. Also, this is definitely, like, a clip-in hair piece in Star Wars. Mm-hmm. I don't know about, you know. Because if you really look at, like, the hair texture and the color, it's way off from her hair.
Yeah.
Like, look at the bun and then look at the base of her hair. It's, like, totally different things. But if you did want to do this with your real hair, you would just twist, like, 1-inch sections of your hair. And my notes say in a circle-y. I don't know why it says in a circle-y, but I knew what I meant. So you would just take 1 inch of your hair and just kind of twirl it around in a circular pattern, let's say like that, towards the nape of your neck. And then you would just pin all those pieces up with a bobby pin, just kind of in the same area, if that makes sense. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. I mean, it's definitely, like, very
hideous.
Yeah.
It's straight up ugly. Like, I'm just like, no.
Like, I don't really. And it's, like, kind of a lot of work, but it's, like, kind of simple. It's, like, at that point, why not just put your hair in a bun?
Yeah, exactly. Like, this, I don't use the word ugly to describe hairstyles very often, but this is not aesthetically pleasing in any respect. Like, it's cool. Like, it's interesting. Yeah. Yeah, it's, like, Medusa just, like, tying her or snakes up in a bun. Why?
Exactly, yeah.
I feel like they probably were like, she needs a practical hairstyle because she's gonna be like in an arena and all of this.
But that's like not practical in any way.
Because no.
Feel, if you were like in an arena and you were fighting things, those bobby pins would be flying right out your hair. Like, there's
this is important though, because hold on. She has a hairpin that she uses to get herself out of her manacles.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. Well, Anakin's still like, oh, what about Padme? She seems to be doing fine. Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so it does actually serve a purpose.
Okay.
But again, like, she could just have her hair in a bun and have a hairpin. I think they just thought they needed to make it be, like, a space hairstyle.
Right.
That's true. Don't do this. Takeaway message. It's just like, yeah, not worth it.
Okay, so then the last one, which I think is nice, I hope you agree, is in a not pleasant part of Revenge of the Sith, where Padme goes to find Anakin and plead with him to come with her and stop being evil, essentially. But I do like her hair and I like her outfit, so Siri, how would you do this hairstyle?
So this one I really like. I think if I had, like, how can I say this? I don't know if it's inappropriate to say. I was going to say if I had more balls, but that sounds weird. Anyway, if I was, like, more daring, like, fashion-wise, I would definitely wear this, like, normally, but I'm not. So, so for this, you would just separate your hair into two sections, kind of like you were putting your hair, like, half up, half down. Then you would separate the bottom half in three pieces and just make a three-section braid.
Oh.
Yeah. Then you would take the top half and you would separate that into two pieces and then twirl each section into a low bun. So I feel like it looks like really complicated, but it's like, it's just like a lot of sectioning and braiding and buns. Like, it's just.
That's cool.
Obviously very, like, time consuming, but at the same time, it's like, it's not too bad.
Nice. Yeah, if you with the hair.
I also feel like if I didn't think that people would think I was weird, I would do my hair like this too.
Yeah, I definitely. Well, okay. When I was growing up, not with the braid, but I used to wear my hair in the, like, two low buns, and we used to call them meatballs, which I don't know why we called them meatballs.
It was because of Sailor Moon.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. there you go. Well, why did they call it
because of the poor translations of the English dub of Sailor Moon, which, like, now that I know, I'm just like, wow.
Yeah.
Wait, they referred to buns as meatballs?
Isn't that, like, what Tuxedo Mask calls them or something?
I don't know. I, like, literally didn't know the origin
like,
of
her,
it.
Like, her buns.
I thought we just called them meatballs because they, like, looked like
no,
meatballs.
I'm pretty sure it's because of Sailor Moon.
Okay.
Huh. I don't remember that, but I haven't seen
Sailor Moon. He, like, called her, like, meatball head or something.
Oh, maybe. Well, yeah, but, I mean, I feel like I've tried to do my hair like that, like, recently, and then I'm just like, this is too ridiculous.
Well, isn't that a thing now? Like,
isn't that a Gen Z
thing?
Yeah, I was gonna say, not with us.
Yeah, no, not with us millennials, but, like, I thought that was a Gen Z thing, was what they call space buns.
Oh,
the, maybe. The two buns.
I don't know, I'm not hip with Gen Z stuff, so. I mean.
Yeah, we've learned we all need to not wear skinny jeans. We need to have a center part. Jeans. We can't use the crying laughing emoji.
Which is wrong.
I mean, all I wear is skinny jeans. I've had a side part my, like, entire life. My most recent emoji, whatever it is the crying emoji. Like, the crying laughing emoji. Like, I'm sorry, but that's, like, the epitome of my life.
Exactly. I feel like there's no reason to apologize for that, though, because, like, it encompasses all situations, right? Are you laughing and crying, or are you, like, laughing so hard you're crying? Like, it's everything.
It is. It is everything. Anyway, I could go on forever about that.
Okay, so moving on from hair a little bit, those are all good tips, and I don't know, maybe because we don't really leave the house, we should just, like, do our hair. Like, one day.
Yeah,
just for fun.
Yeah, exactly. I was putting my hair in Ray buns for, like, weeks after our last one, and I was just walking around, like, the neighborhood with that. I'm like, you know what? My hair is in three buns.
Deal with it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nice.
So, Siri, again, we're not going to get into the Queen Amidala makeup, really, but, like, what do you think of Padme's makeup overall?
So, I really like Padme's makeup. I think, like, it's obviously such a polar opposite of Queen Amidala, but it's kind of, like, similar to how, like, I would do my makeup if I were her, you know what I mean? Like, it's very natural, and it looks like she is trying not to try too hard, but, like, at the same time, she's putting on, like, neutral eyeliner. You know what I mean? Like, I think it's very natural and light. But I will say, like, the best part is she wears lip gloss. Like, I remember, like, one specific thing when she was, like, ready to, like, battle. And she, like, had lip gloss on. And I was like, that is so impractical. Because it would just be super annoying. Like, what are you going to do? Number one, your hair and, like, sand and stuff is going to get stuck to the gloss.
Not sand.
No. Like, just think about it. She's going to get sand, stuck to her lip gloss, then she's going to kiss Anakin. Like, wow.
I really can't with that. But, yeah, it would be, like, it would be super annoying to be wearing lip gloss in those predicaments. Let's just say that. But I really do like her makeup. It's just, like, a nice natural look. And it's actually something that's, like, pretty universal. Like, you don't have to be in space to wear makeup like that. It's, like, a pretty nice everyday look. So, I like that.
Again, I feel like she just wears lip gloss because it's, like, the late 90s, early 2000s. And
that's
people
true.
Were, like,
I guess I never really, like,
very
that far
into very glossy lips, which is not really the case now.
Yeah. That is true.
Huh.
All right, so to close, I thought we would talk about some of the other main players in the prequels, which we already touched on one of them, but I just wanted to get your reaction to the hair of the two main male characters. Right. So I thought we would start by talking about Obi-Wan's various hair looks over the prequel. Over the prequel trilogy.
Ranking Obi-Wan's hair, I would say my favorite is his hair in episode 3.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, like, I don't think anyone will disagree with that.
Nope.
It honestly just looks the best. He actually does have some really nice hair. It does look like he blow dries every single strand perfectly in place, which, like, obviously is impossible. Like, how would he find the time to do that? Number one. Number two, it's super windy, like, in the planets, on the planets. Are you, like, sitting there with, like, you must have, like, the best hairspray in the world. That makes no sense. But it's also kind of, which I want to bring up, it's, like, a weird hipster haircut in a way. Like, I could see yes. this trending, like, now, like.
I see what you mean.
If you, like, added some, like, thick-rimmed glasses, like, he would be a hipster.
In a bun.
So like yeah, I mean, he could, well, his hair's yeah. long enough, he might be able to have, like, a little teeny man bun, but, I mean, his beard is also kind of, like, the perfect hipster beard, because it's, like, long, but it's still kind of, like, groomed.
Yeah.
Like, he uses beard oil or something.
I finally got my husband to use beard oil.
I saw that.
It's very exciting.
Does he feel like it changed his beard?
It has. I bought it for him for Christmas. I put it in his stocking at Christmas because I wanted him to use it. And he just didn't until recently, until he was like, you need to find it for me. And it was, like, literally on a shelf in the closet in the bathroom, like, in the front. But I took it out for him, and he finally used it. And now he actually has been using it. And, like, it has, like, changed the texture of his beard, and it, like...
Is it, like, softer?
Yeah, like, it's, like... It's less, like, wiry. Like, I don't know. It helps the hairs, like, stay in place and, like, look more groomed.
That's interesting.
Wait.
So, yeah.
I'll have to take a look at his beard later.
Has he grown, like, a full beard? Because I'm just thinking, like, obviously, in the times I've seen him, he's been, like, clean shaven to, like, you know, 5 o'clock shadow area.
No. He has a full beard now.
Okay, so... For Obi-Wan's worst here, is obviously episode 2. Like, there's no way around it. He had a mullet. And this is also where the pictures come from, where all the older folks think he's Jesus. Have you ever seen this?
I know, but wait, I could see it. There's a thing about that? No.
I don't know if this is, like, I don't know how much of this is true or just people, like, saying this, but people have said that, like, literally their grandmother or something was, like, sharing pictures of Ewan McGregor in Attack of the Clones being, like, do you believe in Jesus? Like, we must all trust in the Lord and stuff.
But I swear, I don't know if maybe I'm just making this up, but I swear I've seen the Pope, like... Unless it's just people trolling, like, which I'm happy it is, but I've definitely seen the physical posts about it.
I mean, I can see it, right? He has, like, the benevolent gaze,
the
long hair, the beard, the robes, like,
Exactly. But, long hair just, like, really doesn't work for him. And, his beard looks horrible. Like, it just...
He wasn't grooming his beard.
He's not using beard oil. Time. It's obvious.
Yeah. It makes
a big difference. Pretty scruffy.
All right. So then the last thing that we have to discuss, again, because, like, it's clearly a family thing. There are a lot of comparisons to be made between Kylo Ren and Anakin. Right. And I recently discovered that apparently Hayden Christensen was wearing extensions. So, obviously, we need to talk about that.
Yes.
So, Hayden Christensen's rat's tail, is a clip-on hair extension. So, if you look at his hair, he has kind of, like, fluffed up, blow-dried hair. Like, you took, like, a brush and just, like, kept brushing up. With a blow dryer.
So this is Attack of the Clones
hair
that we're talking about now.
And then basically they just took a hair extension.
Like a normal hair extension.
And braided it and like clipped it into his hair. And then I actually found an article about while I was researching about someone whose Rat's Tale was inspired by Hayden Christensen.
Is that like a rapper or something?
I don't know. It was a very odd article. I just like pulled the picture from it, but there was like multiple things about his Rat's Tale, and there was a whole Reddit thread. Well, that's not surprising because there's like a Reddit thread about everything. Right. But I mean, yeah, they just like put a little braided extension, just clipped it right in. It's just, I don't know.
I don't know if this was the case in the Midwest, Loya, but there was a trend in the 90s when in elementary school for boys to have rat tails, and that's just like all I can think of.
So I went to a very small elementary and middle school, and there was a pair of brothers who both had rat tails, and they were the only ones, but like it was obviously like the trend filtering in.
I don't know if I remember anyone having rat tails in school.
It might have like died out a little bit by the time you were old enough that
maybe
like, boys could have rat tails, because I feel like it was really like mostly the early 90s.
Okay.
Once you got into like the mid 90s, I wasn't as popular.
Yeah.
Wow, Hayden Christensen, he's not bad. Like, he seems more personable now that I've Googled him.
Why?
I don't know. Maybe it's just the fact that, like, he's not Anakin in some of these pictures.
just the fact that he's not such a normal guy.
You seem fine.
So, in this Reddit thread that I found, though, there was also discussion about Hayden Christensen's hair in Revenge of the Sith, and people were, like, debating whether his longer hair was extensions or if it was his real hair, and there wasn't really a definitive answer. Some people said that the back part of it that was the longest was a hair extension, and that it looked really bad in some shots, but I guess we don't know for sure.
Looks like it would be real hair, but then again, I guess I'm not. We've established extensions are new territory for me, so.
Well, thank you for coming back on and being a guest and talking more about Galactic Glamour. And I'm sure there are many other aspects of Galactic Glamour that we can talk about. So I'm sure we'll invite you back in the future. But yeah, thanks for all of your expertise that we clearly don't have.
I mean, I don't have it either. I just, you know. All right, well, thank you guys very much. It was a pleasure, and I'm glad to be here with you. And yeah, hopefully we can all be together one day and record an episode. That would be cool.
Yeah.
I would love that.
All right, well, that is it for today's show. Our intro and outro music is by Lobo Loco, and our segment break music is by Poddington Bear. You can find us on our website at StarWarsSleepover.com, and I would definitely check it out after this episode because we'll have all the photos that we were looking at and a link to that quiz, so you can hopefully not be disappointed by your results. And we're also on Twitter at SWSleepover. And on Instagram, where we are most active at Star Wars Sleepover. If you like our podcast, please consider rating and reviewing on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts, and tell a friend. We will be back in 2 weeks to talk about Star Wars and the Muppet Show and some of the other promotional appearances. So I'm excited to talk about that because I know the episode with Mark Hamill is, like, one of Loya's favorite things. So,
yes,
should be a fun episode. And until then,
may the Force be with you.